May 28th, 2026, Harpers Ferry Town Council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Approval of the agenda, council, I want to make, there was a typo that I made in putting this together, so I want to completely strike five. Actually, you have number four, Roman four, but it actually should be Roman three. But whether it's three or four, it doesn't make any difference because we're going to strike it.
Strike what number?
What Roman numeral? Number five.
Oh, five. Five. D. My bad. 5D, we're going to strike Roman numeral 4, even though it should be 3. We're going to strike that because that's going to be covered, council, under 5F, Roman numeral 6 down below, okay?
Okay.
And then the only other thing I want to say is that under 5F3, where discussion and action regarding CDS in phase two, where it says may require executive session. We're going to do the phase two, the resolution number two, in the clear. And then when we go to executive session at the end, we'll talk about the collector sites. Okay?
Okay.
So we'll leave the resolution in the clear. And we won't get into the collector sites until the end.
Where's the resolution?
It's not listed on there.
Okay.
But we do need to talk about that. It's covered under there. Okay.
Thank you.
I have one as well.
Go ahead, Kevin.
5G4 is removed.
We're a little premature now.
Yeah.
What are we doing with it?
It's removed.
All right. 5G4. All right. Motion to approve is amended.
So moved.
Second. Second from Jesse. Discussion. I thought I saw Jesse's finger go up.
Yeah.
He's on the phone and I saw the finger. So all right. So we have a second from Jesse. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion? Opposed, motion carries 6-0. Sorry about that, Jesse.
Oh, that's okay. I usually get my name attached to terrible things.
Kevin, public comment?
We have none.
Okay. Okay, mayor's announcement. I just have one thing, and I want to bring it up, and I think most of us in this room are aware of the passing of Betsy Bainbridge on May 25 at the age of 83. And I just want to talk a little personally about Betsy. I served with Betsy we were a council member together for 2 years. And then Betsy served on my town council when I first became mayor for 4 years. And I found Betsy to be an incredibly dedicated individual to the town of Harpers Ferry. She was very strong-willed, very opinionated, and she always shared those opinions with me in private or publicly about policies and procedures. And I always appreciated that. She was, a dedicated person. She served Storm for 4 years as the budget and finance chair, helping guide the town's finances through when we were not in as good a position as we are now. We didn't have the B&O taxes coming in like we have that Patty has done an incredible thing with our B&O taxes, bringing in those monies that she monitors. That didn't exist back then. We didn't have parking monies coming in. So those B&F meetings that were held were very, very challenging maintaining the town's finances. And I think this town owes an awful lot to the contributions of Betsy. And I think, Kevin, you're the only one that really worked with Betsy on the council. I don't know if you wanted to make any observations about Betsy or not. You know, I don't mean to put you on the spot. But
now, this is the first I've heard about this.
I'm sorry.
I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't work with Betsy, but we connected. She grew up in Oak Ridge, where I worked for quite some time. So we had a lot to talk about. We had two very different views of that little city. And it's one of those things that she just always accepted me and was nice. And, you know, I was from completely outside, and she just accepted me as just me.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And I think there's a lot of that in this town. It makes the whole place special. Yeah.
We had an event at Christian's house 3 weeks ago, and she was there with Steve, and she passed 3-4 days later, or more than after that.
Last week.
Yeah.
How's Steve doing?
I've met and hung out with her a few times, and early on she was one of the folks that did reach out to us when we came to town, and I remember talking with her and was thinking about getting involved with town government, and she was very supportive and gave some good guidance. And even though I didn't know her well, she had a big impression.
And I was going to add, the reason I'm here is because of her.
Yeah.
She thought I would be a good candidate to be in the town council. Yeah. So.
Well, she kept me on my toes. I will tell you that. Kevin will attest to that. She sat right there, I believe, where Jesse is. And I did be watching her, and I'm looking at her non-verbals, and I'm saying, okay, there we go. All right, Betsy, what's on your mind? So, anyway, God bless you, Betsy. Kevin, you have any comments?
I have none.
Okay.
I have two comments.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to thank the mayor for his newsletter, message from the mayor about Memorial Day, and I really appreciated that. That was a really great message that he put out, and I know it's hard every month to write one, but this one was more personal, and
it
was really, really touching.
I have fond recollections of standing next to my dad looking up at him. Tough thing.
And then I want to talk about the music on the ridge. I want to thank the Parks and Rec for their hard work. I know the weather was bad, but you had some awesome music there. And thank you for the park for letting us use the property. I'm sure we hopefully paid for it, or we will. But it was just a beautiful event. And unfortunately, the weather came in the beginning and kind of blew it up. But people came back, and it was a fantastic event. So thank you.
Thank you for those comments.
And then one last thing today. It was at the Harper's, the Bolivar Harper's Ferry Foundation, Historic Foundation today did a tour of the town for Black History. And a tour bus came all the way from Charlottesville, Virginia, where I came from, and Lynn also came from there. And on the bus was the mayor of Charlottesville. So it was really a neat event with 32 people on this bus. We were the first of 1 week. They're doing this for a week. So today was their first stop, and they're going to Alexandria from here in Old Town. And they're going to see more of the region.
Great.
So Harper's Ferry got on the map.
Thanks for sharing that, Christian. Hilltop, pleasure to have Laurel here.
Laurel Szymanski, project manager at Hilltop Hospital. Good to see everybody. We've been doing a big financial push, trying to get all the wrinkles out, but we have movement, which is good. We're working on our bonds, issuing bonds for our tax incentive financing, and working with banks. So things are moving, which is encouraging. What I explained, that we're working on our financial package.
So to secure funding?
Yeah, that things are moving, we're in the process, so, yeah. So, the second thing I wanted to talk about was there was something on the agenda, and Mayor Vaughn had contacted me about, what can you guys do to beautify the entrance to the access on Columbia and Washington. Of course, that was temporary access for the people, the public. And let me tell you, there's at least 12 people on the street at any time during the weekend. People are going up there, sitting, enjoying it. I saw a couple people have a picnic. Anyways, so we had a discussion, a team discussion, and we have a temporary entrance permit that's been approved, and you cannot plant anything, or I mean, it's pretty strict. You have to have a line of sight for when the trucks and the vehicles start to come. So that limits us, you know, really doing any kind of beautification with vegetation. We're going to put some pea gravel down going through the gate, and I'm going to put back up the rendering of the hilltop showing the iconic turret. So we can close that item unless there's any questions.
Is there an ETA?
An ETA for groundbreaking?
For those improvements?
For the pea gravel? Or
We'll probably be getting it done in the next week.
How about the funding? What's your feeling on the funding? Like, how long is that going to take? Do you have a sense of
it? Well, you know, so many times I've given a date on this project, but it could be, you know, a few months.
You don't think it's a year?
I don't think it's a year, David. Yeah, I don't. So anyways, there's a lot of things, pieces going on at once. And as soon as we have something that we know, we have the loan signed and everything in order, we will be making an announcement. So.
Anything else for Laura? Thank you, Laura, so
much.
Thank you. Sure. Yeah, good to see you.
Superintendent? Welcome back.
Thank you. Do I need to touch this or not? Good evening, Council, Mr. Mayor. Nice to be back. I have a number of things for you today, since I was not with you last month. The first stage of the grasslands rehabilitation work at Lower Bolivar Heights and Nash Farm was completed in early May. The herbicides used were Roundup and Candor, that's glyphosate, and 2,4-D and triclopyr. There will be one or two further treatments this year, and they will continue to target invasive plants in those areas. People and pets should avoid those treated areas for at least 8 hours after they've been sprayed. And as a precaution, the park will keep those closures in place for 48 hours. We certainly appreciate the community's understanding, your patience, and compliance with those temporary closures. The National Park Service's Mather Training Center has been reorganized within the Department of the Interior. As a result, Anthony Hall, the former administration building of Storr College, will come under the management of Harpers Ferry National Historical Park. We are in the earliest days of planning for new uses at Anthony Hall. Initial concepts include a focus on interpreting the history of Storr College, office space, and flexible meeting space for park and community functions. The park has issued a request for expressions of interest to invite proposals for the adaptive reuse of Cook Hall, another former Storr College building. Interested parties may request a site visit in June and have until the end of August to submit their proposals to the National Park Service. The park has issued two permits to Amtrak for topographic and geoarchaeological studies around the Harpers Ferry train station. Work may begin by the end of this month or in early July. We do expect these permitted activities to cause some temporary disruptions at the train station parking lot. We will notify the community once a final schedule is established, which is not quite finalized between Amtrak and the park. Projects in Lower Town. Roofing repairs to the Duran block on Shenandoah Street are complete. The The front facade repairs to the Susan Downey Building on High Street are complete, and the Battle of 1862 Museum is reopened. There are new front steps to the John Brown Museum. That project is complete. And perhaps the one everyone cares about the most, the Byron Bridge temporary staircase, is likely to be removed now, we're hearing, in early July, perhaps right after the 4th of July.
Of course.
The park shuttle service will resume once that happens between the visitor center and Lock 34 on the canal, back and forth until the permanent staircase is installed. And finally, if you haven't already heard this, on April 29th, the Senate passed legislation to transfer jurisdiction over federal lands on Schoolhouse Ridge between the National Park Service and Customs and Border Protection. Parallel legislation is pending in the House. It's been introduced. It's in committee. We're waiting to see how that turns out, but we are expecting at some point in the next year, we may see that transfer of jurisdiction take place.
So that's from you to Customs and Border Protection?
So over on Schoolhouse Ridge, this is all federal property.
Yep.
All right, so it's just a matter of who manages what.
Yep.
Right, so we are trading management responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna get, the legislation goes through, they will get 25 acres of what we now manage, and we will get 70 some acres of what they now manage, which is a net benefit of about 45 acres to the park.
Great.
Is there,
on the battlefield.
Is there a map of that?
There is. I don't have it with me.
Okay.
It was in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Or online.
Yeah, there was an article back in December, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
So that's moving forward.
Superintendent, what's the objective of the Amtrak permits?
Both permits are for surveys and studies related to Amtrak's ADA, ADA stations project, which I think I've mentioned before, but I will go back on that. Amtrak has an agreement with the Justice Department, a settlement agreement, to bring all of their Amtrak stations into ADA compliance across the country. Harpers Ferry is one of those stations where Amtrak provides service. Therefore, we are trying to work with them to determine the best way to provide ADA accessibility to both the main platform on the eastbound and the more difficult to reach if you have any kind of accessibility issues on the westbound.
Right.
So they have to, working with the Park Service, they of course, it's federal land, and they're working with the Federal Railroad Administration, also a federal agency, so they have to follow the National Historic Preservation Act, as well as the National Environmental Policy Act. So we have some compliance to do. These permits are related to studies that they need to undertake to better inform their compliance, their federal compliance.
Okay.
And I think you discussed that it may use the current subway that goes underneath, tying to that. Yeah, okay.
Anything else for Superintendent?
Well, hopefully it doesn't impact service to Amtrak. I'm talking about they may drop it. It's going to be so expensive to make that thing, that ADA compliant. I don't know that.
Amtrak's project.
It's a little concerning.
Amtrak's project.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any council member have anything to report? Okay. Approval of minutes. We should have May 11th.
2026.
Pardon?
2026. It's 2026, yeah, it's on the agenda.
I slept through that whole year.
It's a big backlog.
This is May 11, 2026 minutes. Motion to...
I move we approve the minutes as presented.
There's a second on the motion, second Storm, discussion on the motion. All those in favor of the motion? Opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Thank you. Town reports, Tree Commission. Discussion and action regarding 2026 tree work plan.
Evening, council. The reason this is on here tonight is that the last regular meeting of the tree commission, we approved the 2026 tree work plan. I apologize, I did not get that plan to you until this afternoon. So if you feel you need more time to review it, completely understand. I don't think it's 100% pressing. This work, once approved, would happen once the leaves come off in the fall or early winter. But traditionally, this is approved in June, so we can work with the contractors to line everything up. It's, I think, a page and a half, almost 2 pages.
Two pages.
Christy put most of it together. She's the most knowledgeable one. And we approved it, I think, last month.
It was unanimous.
It was unanimous.
I move to approve. I didn't have a chance to review it. Thank you. I move to approve the 2026 tree work plan submitted.
I'll second.
Christian, discussion. I have just one question, Zach. Is there any work being done on the state's right of way?
So there are a couple trees that Christy flagged that need to be either pruned or down, taken down, that technically fall either on the border or just within the shared right of way. It was a contact you gave us a couple months ago. So I'm working with the state to draft an MOU that would bring to council and hopefully get that. I'm hoping for a long-term MOU that gives the town responsibility.
And that's common. They will issue a long-term.
Yep, that's cool. So I don't have any...
I would encourage the tree commission to proceed with that post-haste because we really don't have, technically, any authority on their right-of-way. And that's where it's done through their right-of-way division. And they're very amicable about that, so it won't be an issue, but I would suggest you get that thing moving along.
Is that all the way down to High Street, too? Like, it goes high?
Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
Yeah, they have a 40-foot right-of-way until you get to High, and that's a 30-foot.
Okay.
And so this... if the motion goes through, this approves the plan, but we're not taking action on the plan until later, so we'll have that MOU in place before we do any work on Washington.
Any other discussion, David?
Yeah, just that you had a couple things you need to make lists on and everything, so that would be, how's that, I guess Chrissy would do that, you guys will approve it.
The tree commission will work to gather the data and then approve it, and then, the list will be, well, eventually end up on the new website, I hope, or at least a link on a spreadsheet to it, so we'll get it all sorted out.
Other discussion?
Do we need to approve you guys making that list? What do we need to do there?
If it's part of the plan, then it's bundled in with the approval.
Okay.
Yep. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion? Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you,
Zach. Parks and Rec general report.
I have that one as well. Thanks to Christian for summarizing it. But our biggest update is that this past Saturday, we hosted the 16th annual Music on the Ridge event at Mather Training Center, or the lawn at Storer College. We especially want to thank the Park Service for allowing us to use that space, as well as Welsh Sound for the stage and managing the sound system, and all the volunteers who put in work to make that event go off fairly smoothly. At the beginning of the event, right, about 5 minutes after five, we had just under 100 people there, with more on the way. But within a few minutes, we had a thunderstorm roll through, and a lot of folks had to scatter. Many came back, although I didn't keep track after the rain, because we were kind of scrambling to get things back on track. But we finished it out at 8 o'clock with a fairly strong group in attendance. So not sure what it could have been, but we were excited to have it, and it was really fun.
It was fun.
Good evening. And once the rain moved out, it was much cooler. So.
And the bugs weren't out.
The event came in just under budget, and we were able to collect $160 in donations before the rain came in. So, and I guess a few after. And the next event on the Parks and Rec calendar is we have a summer concert series, which will be at the gazebo, a much smaller but local music event. At the Town Gazebo on Sunday evenings, July 12th, 19th, and 26th, from 7 to 9 p.m. Hoping to bring neighbors out, have a picnic dinner, just hang out, and enjoy some live music.
Anything else for Zach? Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Police Commission, not often that we have this on the agenda. Discussion action regarding appointment to the police commission. You should have received appointments of interest from Wayne and Michael Galecki. This one is from Sharon Spritz. Now, I'll give you a little bit of history on the police commission. It's set up by West Virginia code. To have a municipal police department, you're required under code to have a police commission. It specifies the members and the lengths of terms. As I understand it correctly, Patty, it's 4 years, correct? Okay. Now, here's the problem with what we are confronted with. We have three members. We have Sharon Spriggs currently, we have Wayne, and then we had Bart Wheatley. Now, Bart being a member of the BZA is prohibited. So that left a vacancy. So Mikhail has requested to replace. However, all of their appointments are invalid after
the 8th. Well, it's supposed to be a 4-year term. Currently, all the three seats expired on May 8th.
May
of 26.
All three?
However,
yes.
All three, because when they were initially put on, they were all given the same term. The West Virginia Code says the terms are 4 years staggered. So we have an opportunity tonight
to correct
that and then move forward.
So
the ORC has been working on all the committees and commissions. I'm not sure if we spoke about this one. Yeah. One of our goals was to make everybody the same term, 3 years.
Yeah, but there's West Virginia Code prohibitions on some of those.
We're aware of that. That's why it's taking so long.
I think there were two of the bodies that we weren't sure how to resolve or didn't feel like we could resolve. And I think the police commission was one of those.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
So the police commission has three representatives. We have one representative representing the police department, and that's Wayne, currently. We have another representative representing the merchants, and that was Bart. We have another representative representing the mayor, and that is Sharon. Okay, so the thought is, and Patty and I talked about this quite a bit, that tonight we can approve one for a 1-year term, another seat for a 2-year term, a third seat for a 3-year term, and then when they expire their terms, whether 1, 2, or 3, then they reverts to a 4. Okay? So I am proposing that we consider doing that. We put, Patty, we didn't talk people, but seat, the police seat, which is Wayne, I'm suggesting we just do a 1-year term with Wayne. The second seat, which is the merchants representing Mikhail, I'm recommending we do a 2-year term for Mikhail. And then the third with Sharon, representing the mayor's position, would be a 3-year. That's my thoughts, and I'll leave it up to y'all.
So the people who represent mayor, merchants, and police, like, are they supposed to get with them and meet with them, and then they come to meet?
Yeah, I mean, ideally
meets?
That's it, but
yeah.
It's been my experience, the police commission only meets during sit-in on hiring and sit-in on adverse action against a police officer, which has happened once or twice since I've been mayor. Do they regularly meet, Patty?
I do remember at one point Wayne was trying to get on the agenda for the police department, because I think they meet once a month before court.
Yeah.
And so I do know he tried to get in to talk to them and, you know, kind of give them an update and let them know that this commission was available should anyone need them.
I mean, it's a good question, David. They don't have a regular agenda and a regular meeting date where they have agenda 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. They just abided by code during adverse actions and hirings.
So okay. if do we need to go through the whole process?
Yeah.
Each one individual.
Yeah. So what we would, it would be the normal nomination process. The chair will open up nominations for seat number one, representing the police department for a 1-year term, and then hopefully somebody will mention.
Can I suggest we go 2, 3, 4 instead of 1, 2, 3?
It's up to you guys.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out a way to get us there.
Yeah. I mean, one's not very much.
Yeah. So why don't when I open up for nominations for let's say the police seat, which will be, and I'll state specifically so the minutes will reflect a 2-year term.
Yeah.
Okay. So the chair is going to open up nominations to fill vacancy on the police commission to represent the police. This will be a 2-year term. Nominations are now open.
Nominate Wayne Bishop.
Any other nominations?
Second.
Nominations are closed. Roll call, Storm?
Yes.
Jesse?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
And I, yes.
And that would be a seat expiration date of June
8th, 2028.
2028. We get that in the records, in the minutes. So,
Do we want to make it June 8th, though?
Well, today's
or?
June, so.
Yeah.
What do you want to do, Kevin? What are you suggesting?
Last time it was May 8th because that was when the meeting was.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, it was May
7th. And at the end of the fiscal year?
Yeah, I think it's probably better.
The ORC's been trying to get everything kind of fitting a little better instead of having 1,000 different options.
Mm-hmm.
So can we get the same date, like the end of the year?
June 30th?
Fiscal year or calendar year?
We've been doing calendar year, but since police commission really doesn't fit into the with all the rest of the committees and commissions the same way anyway, maybe the 1st of July would be better.
Yeah.
Right, July 1. All right, do we need to amend the, no, we're not.
So why don't we say a term expiring July 1 instead of
2028.
Yeah, 2028.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we name the length.
Would it expire the last day of June?
Yes.
So it starts on the 1st of July.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Chair will open up nominations for the merchant representative on the police commission. This will be a 3-year term ending June
30.
2029. Chair is now open up for nominations. We have a nomination, Jesse?
Becca was elected.
Are there nominations? Nominations are closed. Storm?
Yes.
Jess?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Yes, and Mayor Birch, yes. Thank you. Chair will open up nominations for representing the mayor. This will be a 4-year term expiring June of 2030. Nominations are now open. Storm?
I nominate Sharon Spritz.
And is there other nominations? Hearing none, all the nominations are now closed. Storm?
Yes.
Jesse?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Greg Roach, yes. Nominations closed. Thank you. Water Commission, general report from the PWA. Okay.
All of the meters that have been delivered. And that essentially is to go through each one and they essentially turn it on. So they're powered up, they're ready to go. So they've been doing that work. I believe that they will be in town this week to work on the collector on the tanks. And the piece that needs to be done there is underneath the trench. Where the cable's gonna run from the tank over to, we do have a conduit that has already been trenched and will run to where we're gonna connect to power. They just have to get it from the tank to that short run to the entrance to the existing conduit. On Gilbert Street, we just got through, I'll say this morning, we did the tie-in to Washington Street. And so that connection is made. They set the valve actually outside of the state highway right away, so if we have to get to it and do any work with it, we will not be required to do a permit, which helps in the long run. Keeps it out of the street as well, out of the main thoroughfare. So that work was completed overnight. We did not have any little hiccups with any of that. Water was restored to all of our customers by 1:30 this morning. We are under a boil water notice. We have, Jacob has drawn the sample for the bacteriological test that has been delivered to the lab. And we hope that we will anticipate that we will have a all clear result from the lab sometime, probably mid-morning tomorrow. So we'll get that out of the protocol. We did have a few complaints. We did have a few complaints, but that's to be expected. I think the notifications went extremely well. Kathy headed all that up. We had door flyers to everybody affected. I personally visited all of the vendors downtown and delivered the flyer and spoke to somebody pretty much in every establishment to let them know what was coming. Despite that, we did have someone who angrily called three times this morning and hung up on us each time. We tried to explain why she maybe didn't get the call herself directly. But all that went extremely well. Actually, Jacob and I were quite pleased when we figured out that we could actually turn the water off. So. That is, quite honestly, that's a challenge. So we had the whole crew there and all the rest. We did a lot of work ahead of time. But to watch that water continue to flow out of that pipe for 45 minutes gets a little bit harrowing. But we did, I think we've learned from when we had to shut the water off on Polk Street with TerraWorks. We had a safety incident in that episode. I think we learned through all that. We got the water off. We were able to test and make sure that the line was depressurized before anybody got in and did the work. So we are continuing to do what we can so far. We haven't dropped any balls, but we're trying. All right?
You guys did an excellent job of communication on the water cutoff.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I have become the switchboard for every complaint in town. And I got almost nothing, we had water at the house already set aside just in case balls got dropped that weren't. It was really smooth, and thank you.
Like I said, Kathy spearheaded that. We made assurances to Mayor Higdon last Monday, that they would be alerted because we're doing nighttime work. To get that approved by their council, by the mayor. One of the conditions was to make sure that door hangers were going to, at least the folks in Bolivar were going to be delivered to everybody who would be around the noise zone, as well as having a water come. And Kathy jumped in and she delivered most of them. Let me take that back. There are two things. One is the PSD stepped in for us. Last week, I want to say it was either Thursday or Friday morning. they delivered a number of door hangers for us. And then I think, well, both Eddie and Spencer. So that was a big help. And then the other thing I didn't mention that we've done, we did have a week ago Saturday, we had a demonstration working with the French and Fire Department. They brought one of their pumper trucks up to Prospect Ave. They hooked the truck up to the hydrant that's on Prospect Ave. That was coordinated by one of the residents up there. We had, I don't know, we had 8 to 10, you know, people in attendance. And I was able to shoot a brief video showing that, you know, the boom of water that basically was dousing one of our tanks. I think the fireman who was heading all that up told me he was able to achieve, I think it was 750 gallons per minute, which was, he said, down here typically without a boost, they'll get about 500 or so gallons per minute out of a hydrant. You know, so they're down around here, not in Lower Town, but down around here. So they were quite satisfied with, well, the firemen were quite satisfied with that. I think most of the residents were quite satisfied with that. Again, we had a few that continued to insist that I should install a pump next to that hydrant, just for that hydrant to boost the pressure, and that they know people in Washington and they can get the money to do it.
All right.
Before we will do it.
All right, double bag here.
So, but that was, the firemen felt that it was good exercise for them. They hadn't done this in a while. They have asked us or recommended that we raise that hydrant about 3 feet. So I'm looking at what we need to do to buy that part so we can boost the hydrant up. And the reason for that is that they have to hook it to the truck with a rigid hose. And it took them a little while to get all the pieces of the rigid hose together because the hydrant sits as low as it sits to the ground. It's tough for them to get in and hook it in. So we will see if we can, well, we will, you know, look into and acquire, you know, the part that we need. And, you know, we'll raise the hydrant up. The plan is that we will raise the hydrant to 3 feet. That will allow them to, you know, hook up a little bit quicker. So but that was also, that event was, you know, very much thanks to French and Fire, because they were the ones that had to get the equipment up here, get the people, and endure the incessant calls from those who eagerly wanted to see it happen. So
thank you, Steve. I know, Steve, you've been up against the wall lately, and I appreciate Jesse making some comments. And for the record, I will say that Lynn and I went to Washington, D.C., and we had dinner in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., and our waiter's name was Charles. So I know people in Washington, too. Thanks, Steve. Treasurer's reports. Review and approval of financial reports, April 2026. David?
Is there... there are nothing for D2 and D3.
The commission?
Well, I didn't see Mike here.
Mike's not here. Mike
3 was a minute.
And?
We dropped the replacement vehicle.
And we struck 4.
Push 4.
So we're
on the treasurer.
We're on the treasurer.
We're on the treasurer.
All right. So this is.
It's number funny. This. I didn't realize until now what you meant earlier about it being numbered incorrectly.
All right, so we're looking at revision 6 for fiscal 26. This closes April.
Financial reports?
Isn't that what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Reporting, this is revision 6 that you're
okay.
In the budgeted part. This is revision 6. 83% of the year closing April.
Right.
Our income less reserves is $1,000,003, and so we are at 100% there of what we projected under revision 6. Operating expenses are at $165,000, or about 88.7%. Some budget line items that are shared with water tend to creep a little faster during this quarter of the year until the shared disbursement is made, so you won't see that until you look at June's numbers. And in the police and financial office wages, some of that's running heavy due to the short staffing that we're experiencing. And these will all be addressed in revision 7 that you will experience later on. In the water, you're looking at revision 1. Revision 2 was approved in May. Our overall income is at 78% and customer billing to 75%, which is 2% lower, but 2% closer to budgeted than it had been for a while, so that creep is looking better. The expenses are 72.5%, and again, in the wages for office, you'll see the weight of hours to compensate for shaft shortages in other areas. This is also where you have a shared wage. You have shared wages with the general fund as well, so again, that little fluctuation kind of looks funny during this time of year. There are a few areas that are running high in expenses, but that should fall to the normal, within the normal range when you pick up revision 2 next month, when you look at May numbers. Questions in specific?
I move to approve the financial reports as submitted.
Is there a second? Second on Jess. Discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? Motion carries 6-0, Kathy.
All right, so invoices, they're sitting on the table if anybody wants to see that specifically. Awful lot of that is what you approved last month for disbursement. Just so happened the timing put it at the table here, so went through with that. You've got that one that I emailed you about, and another one for the water department. Any questions? Okay.
I move to approve the invoices and purchases as submitted.
Second. Second from Jesse. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? 6-0. Thank you, Deb.
All right. Next thing is revision 7 proposed for fiscal 26. In this revision, we are increasing the overall budget by 4% or $103,900. The data that you see in there for April is final data based on the financials that you have. I think it says proposed, so I apologize for that. Budget and Finance also reviewed the close of May numbers, which are not official, but in order to make sure we were accurately projecting to the end of June, they reviewed those in conjunction with April. So the big significant pushers on your income are B&O tax. As of the end of May, we have received over $266,000. State municipal tax, we have received $351,000, and we will not receive any more before the end of the year, so that's a set number. And parking meter revenue end of May is sitting at $217,000. So your increment up to June includes a conservative month over the year. Expenses, primarily we're adjusting wages and expenses to close out the year to reflect current staffing and expenses that will remain fixed until the end of the year. The increase in projected income has allowed our contingency fund to rise to $222,798, which is approximately $60,000 over the originally planned fiscal 26 budget. So we've used that to make adjustments throughout the year, and kind of shows the effect of the conservative approach to the budget all along, and we've been able to bump that up throughout the year. So any specific questions or anything you want to look at intentionally in there? The resolution. There's three pages on this one.
You want me to read the?
I don't have it anymore, so I'll
okay. I didn't know if you had a copy. I'm
not
sorry.
It.
Okay, so at a regular session of the Municipal Council held June 8, 2026, the following order was made and entered. The revision of the levy estimate budget of the town of Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, the following resolution was offered. That subject to approval of the state auditor as ex officio chief inspector of public offices, the Municipal Council does hereby direct the budget be revised prior to the expenditure or obligation of funds for which no appropriation or insufficient appropriation currently exists, as shown on budget revision number 7, a copy of which is entered as part of this record.
Okay.
and this is a roll call vote.
Yeah, move to approve general fund budget fiscal year 26 revisions and 7 estimate.
Is there a second on the motion? Second, David. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve?
It's roll call.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Storm DeCostanzo.
Yes.
Jesse Melton.
Yes.
David Simmons.
Yes.
Christian Petrokounis.
Yes.
And I vote yes, Mayor.
Yes.
Motion carries by roll call vote.
All right. So moving on to number two, which is the distribution system phase one WDA grant resolution 18. I'm going to let Kevin read a resolution and share the fund. I'm going to do it right this time. I tried to see, figure out if there was a way I could do it in tandem, but I think it would be confusing. So this is resolution 18 of Town of Harper's Ferry approving invoices relating to construction and other services for the water project and authorizing payment thereof. Whereas the Town of Harper's Ferry has reviewed the invoices attached hereto and incorporated herein by reference in relation to the construction of the water project funded by the Water Development Authority, EECG funds, and CND construction trust funds and funds as follows. None of the items for which payment is proposed have been requested from another source. Each item for which the payment is proposed is to be paid is or was necessary in connection with the project. It constitutes a cost of the project. That each of such costs has been otherwise properly incurred. That payment for each of the items proposed is due and owing. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Town Council of Harper's Ferry that the payment on the attached invoices summarized below are hereby authorized and directed. This will be to GDNF from CNB funds $3,233.44 and to Green Ridge Contractors $16,195.15 for a total of $19,428.94, all from CNB funds, adopted by the Town of Council of the Town of Harper's Ferry at a meeting held on the 8th of June 2026.
I move to approve Distribution System Phase 1 WDA Grant Resolution Number 18S submitted.
Second. Second from David. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed?
No, I didn't.
Motion. 5.
I thought we were going to do a roll call.
This one doesn't.
Oh.
You can call for a roll call.
If you'd like.
No,
we can
no.
Do it.
No.
All right.
Takes too long.
Okay, and moving on to for the water meter project. This is resolution number 2 of the Town of Harper's Ferry approving invoices relating to construction and other services for the water meter project and authorizing payment thereof. Whereas the Town of Harper's Ferry has reviewed the invoices attached hereto and incorporated herein by reference in relation to the construction of the water project funded by the U.S. EPA CG funds and the West Virginia Governor Grant funds, and finds as follows, that none of the items for which payment is proposed have been requested from another source, that each item for which payment is proposed to be paid is or was necessary in connection with the project and constitutes a cost of the project, that each of such costs has been otherwise properly incurred, that payment for each of the items proposed is due and owing. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Town of Harper's Ferry that the payment of the attached invoices, as summarized below, are hereby authorized and directed. Fortiline is the vendor from the EPA, $276,791.50, and from the Governor Grant Fund, $69,197.88, for a total of $345,989.38. Adopted by the Council of Town of Harper's Ferry,
and
meeting held on the 8th of June 2026.
I move to approve fiscal year 24 CDS Distribution System Phase 2 water meters and approval of resolution number 2 as submitted.
Second on the motion to approve. Second, Christian. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed? Motion 6-0. Yes.
And then we had, I don't know if we need to do this.
Phase. Oh, the executive session will go at the end.
Yeah, we'll do the executive session at the end. Discussion and action regarding FY26 CDS Distribution System Phase 3.
Yeah, I'm happy to report that we had our initial meeting with the EPA. Our engineers from GDNF joined in on the call, so everybody's up and running to speed, along with Region 9, of course. There are things, there's a lot of paperwork that needs to come together, and that's getting moved around in the right direction. And we are primarily waiting for GDNF to finalize the updated drawings from the original WDA project that we found in Lackington that were done over a decade ago. So that's gonna probably take until about the
end of July, and that will then kick off when we start moving towards going out to bid. So far I don't see any big stumbling blocks, just keep fingers crossed, things keep moving along, and hopefully we'll get this moving shortly.
Question for Debbie on that? Okay. Discussion action regarding maintenance and mains contracting.
Yeah, so Green Ridge is on it in many ways, including Lake Fillmore. They require a bond to perform work for their on-call services, and that's around $2,500, and they've asked if we would be able to fund that, and this is something that, in hindsight, probably should have been baked into this contract that we have for the on-call services. So I move to pay up to $2,500 to Green Ridge for the bond related to its on-call services for the town.
Your second on the motion, second from Jesse, discussion?
Help me understand the bond.
So the bond is what secures the quality of work and everything to Green Ridge if we have any problems. You know, it requires that they, you know, it's what we would be moving, going back to them for if there were any problems.
Right.
Issues. I did just review this with our water attorney. He said there's no reason not to do this, and like Storm said, going forward, probably incorporate it in.
And they would have put it in their bid and charged us for it anyway to get the bond, right? Is that basically what
they could do that, yeah.
It's usually, you know, we would spec it in the requirement that we take
in.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it has been handled with the
yeah.
other things. This was a separate contract, so.
Okay, makes sense.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve? Approved. 6-0. Okay.
Who made the second on that?
Jesse.
Okay. Thank
you. Discussion action regarding Waterworks vehicle.
Yeah, I'll take that on. I kind of was tasked to do this, I guess, with my automotive background from the Budget and Finance Department. The Finance and Budget Department felt that the Ford Maverick was about the best vehicle for the town, and I can verify that is probably correct. This vehicle is a unibody pickup truck, not a big heavy-duty truck. It's a light-duty truck. 5-passenger with a small 4.5-foot bed in it. It's maximum payload 1,500 pounds. It's a 4-cylinder hybrid engine. We'll get up to 40 some miles per gallon. 42 city, 33 highway. It's a front-wheel drive. It can tow up to 2,000 pounds. It's got all the nice stuff on the base model. I think that's the only one we need. It's got air conditioning. It's got power windows and power windows and power tailgate, power door locks, remote keyless, and there's a picture in the back, has cruise control and has some safety features on it, which I think are useful, lane keeping assist and pre-collision assist with automatic emergency braking. There's a photo of the vehicle. It has a nice, well thought out bed. It's not large, but they can carry tools in it and move up to 5 people in the truck. Bottom line, it's called the Maverick XL. That's the base model. It's kind of geared to municipalities. I think it's got the best fit for budget-wise and operational needs for our water department. And according to Jesse, the agreement that we can get through Ford Motor Company, through their finance arm, the agreement's structured as a 60-month lease with a dollar buyout. So it acts like a loan, but it's legally classified as a lease. It's structured to comply with encumbrance rules that many local governments must follow. And the agreement includes an appropriations clause that allows the lease to be terminated upon payment of a penalty fee. So it's one of the reasons that most municipalities use Ford vehicles because of this type of finance structure. Right now, these hybrids are very scarce. Especially in these low-end models. They're almost none on stock. They're usually ordered, but there might be somewhere in the country we might be able to find, and then we might be able to ship it here to West Virginia. You can also order the vehicle. I don't know how quickly we need the vehicle. I remember our police cars took up to 2 years.
Yeah, but they were special.
Well, you never know today what's going on with stuff. Yeah, it could be a while. We may have to pay up to MSRP, though this is a base vehicle, so there's very little margin in these, so dealers aren't really crazy about them at all. They rather sell the upscale models of that version. They have a lot of upscale versions of it. They get limited allocations, so we may have to kind of step up. We're not going to get it like $100 over invoice or something. It's going to have to be a few bucks, maybe more. But we'll still put it out for bid. I think it best fits our needs. The model also has high fuel economy, which will reduce our long-term operating costs. So I know costs are important, but also does getting the right vehicle in a timely manner is also very important. So that's my analysis of this particular vehicle. Question.
What do they lug around in the truck? Like how? What are they?
They're basically going to be putting in pump, like shovels and.
Okay.
I mean,
nothing. No bigger.
Nothing.
That...
It's a small bed. It's 4.5 feet.
Yeah.
It's just small.
They don't have a need for a bigger bed. Is what
we
I'm asking.
Well, Steve can. We've already helped buy them a really large one-ton Chevy.
We have the Chevy if we need something bigger.
And we got a dump truck.
Well, they said a compact car would do. The Maverick is the smallest vehicle that Ford makes in the United States.
Yeah, and it was also Motor Trend's car, the truck of the year. I mean, it's
the smallest vehicle they make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can fit in tighter spots. I mean, there's an advantage to having a smaller vehicle for the kind of work that they do. It can tow up to 2,000 pounds, but I don't think this will ever tow. It's just basically we have the big truck to do that. So this will move parts. They ran these trucks to death, the other ones, because they were used for reading meters. Now, obviously, we probably won't be doing that anymore, but there's a lot of other light duty uses for that vehicle.
So with the lease, Debbie, we will not be encumbering the next administration. And if they want to, they can just break the lease.
Right. He was discussing that there is a mechanism in there that allows for that.
Is there an appropriations clause that's specifically built for municipalities?
If you want to buy, it's like a little under $30,000. But if you do this lease, then cash flow wise, and talking to Jesse, it would make make good sense for the town.
Yeah,
that was my question. Is under this arrangement, obviously, it would depend on the lease term and the vehicle itself, but if it would fit within the waterworks budget.
Yeah, I think I gave you the number. I don't know the top of my head.
It was $700 some.
In our that I baked into already started this year. So if it fits that, then.
And if you look at the holdback, if we're take off like a monthly amount holdbacks to fund the outright purchase of a vehicle, it doesn't make good sense to not lease the thing.
Yeah.
Consider the amounts of money involved. You know.
Jesse and Christian, what are you asking the council approval to put this out?
Yeah, I say we put it out to bid, but we have to visit with a larger commercial Ford dealer, not your normal Ford dealer, with
Deb,
a big one.
Deb has a line on that in the process. We preliminary talks with Ford about how to go through this process. So it would be, the council would approve the forwarding of the lease process. It'd be somebody, going to the dealer with the spec and, because it's all done through the dealer. And then, and going from there.
Sure.
I move that Harpers Ferry Waterworks pursue and secure a Ford Maverick for its operations through a structured lease.
Can I modify the XL model?
Maverick, figured if they'll throw in a really fancy.
No, that's the cheap, that's the low end vehicle. You want the, if you don't get that, you won't get the hybrid engine.
I see.
And you want the hybrid engine because it gets a lot better.
I'm in motion.
Yes, Mark.
Tap that XL right on the end.
Put that XL right in there.
You good on that, Kev?
Yep.
Okay, second on the motion. Second from Christian. Discussion. David.
So where does this land in the budget? Like where do we?
There's a capital expense for auto in the waterworks budget, and when it came to light that when you approved retiring the other budget and we revised revision two, I added in payments according to what they just said.
So $110 a month
beginning in this fiscal year and then extending into next fiscal year.
Which we haven't been paying.
Right. It was only like 2 or 3 months worth.
Yeah.
And this was precipitated because of some very expensive repairs that were going to be needed to the Dodge.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion? Opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Discussion action regarding spending approval for Town Hall HVAC repair and filing cabinet. Storm?
Yeah, you can walk into the next room and see for yourself that the air conditioner needs repair. And that's really the whole story. I moved to pay up to $1,550.51 to Shenandoah Air Conditioning and Heating for HVAC repair at Town Hall out of 440 building maintenance.
There's a second on the motion. Second from Christian. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion to approve? Opposed. 6-0.
Second item is the filing cabinet. This would be a fire-resistant cabinet or cabinets for a number of purposes, including all the election-related items as well as other critical documents for the town. And Budget and Finance went over this today, and there's a question of how large the cabinet should be, and what we arrived at and what the number is for a four-unit cabinet that would meet the specs of the recorder's office as well as Town Hall's needs. So I moved to spend up to $2,200 for fire-resistant cabinets for Town Hall out of 341 material supplies.
Second on a motion to approve. Second from David. Discussion.
Yeah, what kind of weight are we talking about, and where is it going to be?
So I believe it is going to be in this closet, and it was cleared by the OCO as it would be fine.
If it doesn't work there, it'll be on a ground.
Uh-huh. These floors are not that great. Okay.
Any other discussion? Hold on a second.
Safe.
The motion.
It's not going to be buying a safe, are we?
All those in favor of the motion?
It is a safe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Discussion action regarding spending approvals, flip flop, 4th of July, et cetera, Storm?
Yes, the lightning round. So the first one is flip flop kickoff, which occurred and was pre-approved for spending. And this is reimbursing expenses for that event. So I moved to pay $452.70 to the flip flop kickoff from 402 Economic Development.
Second on the motion. Second from Jesse.
Yes.
Discussion. All those in favor of the motion? 6-0. Storm.
For the 4th of July event coming up, this is two items. One is for the Roarsville Brass Band, $300. And the other is for tent rental. And I move to pay $300 to the Brass Band and up to $350 for tent rental out of 906 Arts and Humanities for the 4th of July event.
Second on that motion. Second, Christian. Discussion. All those in favor of that motion? Opposed. 6-0.
Now, the summer concert series, we heard from Zach about this. So I moved to spend up to $2,000 for the 2026 summer concert series out of 906 Arts and Humanities.
Second on that motion, Jesse. Discussion. All in favor of the motion? Opposed. 6-0.
And this last one is new. Well, it's an ongoing item. These are the steps at Zachary Taylor in Washington. And we talked about this. We need to be, the wording on this is very precise to ensure that that this is a repair. Otherwise, there's door number two for this project. I move to pay up to $2,500 to repair the steps at Zachary Taylor and Washington Streets upon written confirmation designating that this repair will be like for like and include like-for-like repair of the adjacent sidewalk segment, and that the bid must be signed and dated by the contractor. So that's the motion.
Okay, second on that motion. Second from Jesse.
So what's the concern? What's the like-for-like concern there?
If we were to modify anything having to do with public safety, it would be subject to ADA. And
okay.
That is a complex
thing. That is very true.
When they came through to do the sidewalk curb cuts for ADA, they didn't touch that one because of most of what would have they would have to have done, basically regrade half of that lot.
And it's also the lack of life insurers that we're looking out for the historic preservation here, because it is an old sidewalk, it's weird and wonky, and it's a sort of a highlight. And we want that to be preserved as a weird and wonky highlight.
Is there a weird way we could put a rail on it, handrail?
Not really. We're not, it's supposed to be, if we're preserving it, it's supposed to be preserved.
And that would trigger ADA, we modify it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah, other discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve, opposed, motion carries 6-0.
Town website, that's moving forward. Jesse, do you want to?
Yep. So we have provided the vendor with a bunch of information based off standardized questionnaire. We provided them with files, images, and color information for the new website, and they are doing their website development work. The next step in this is the site map, which I have spoken with several of the key stakeholders within the town and have a good feel for what we need. And so that'll be added in with the site map. And you know, we'll be talking with the actual developers, the engineers here in the next couple of weeks to move that along. So it is happening.
Good.
Yep.
Any questions for Jesse on that? Okay. ORC, Ordinance Review Commission, or committee report, Kevin?
Okay, I don't have much of a report. We're unable to meet right now because Chris is out of town, and so when he comes back, we'll be planning our next meeting.
Can you not meet with two?
We can, but I just feel it's like Chris. Since there's only three of us.
Can't do it without Chris. I mean, Chris is good. He really is.
I'd rather wait.
We defer to Chris.
Discussion and action regarding second and final reading of Ordinance 2026-01, Business District Amending Permitted Uses. Kevin?
Okay, so this is, as you said, Ordinance 2026-01, an ordinance to amend uses allowed in the business district. And this is second and final reading.
Motion to approve.
Second on the motion. Second from Christian, discussion. David?
This is the one I didn't see last time, and I was the one who voted against it because I didn't even look at it. So this is really my first reading, but I recognize that was my fault with the email not refreshing.
Do you want a summary?
No.
I changed it from the original. It's different.
So, yeah. So the only addition is in Residence Inn, right? Is what's being added to the...
It's 1312.02A2.
A2, right? Yeah, that's what it changes.
Yeah.
So I think when we say a restaurant provided... any such structure shall be at least 25 feet from a residence. I feel like we're overlooking like outdoor seating, which could actually be more of a burden on someone who lives next to this restaurant. And it needs to have some kind of language that, I look at the Snail, and they have outdoor seating, and they're next to a residential lot. Theoretically, because it's zoned that way, but it's not a residential lot. But let's just say that it was, and someone lived there, and they were that, you know, I don't know, there's a bridesmaids party or something, I don't know. Pick your crazy people who want to make noise, but bridesmaids get loud. So they, like, I feel like 25 feet should include that area. Like, the 25 feet buffer should be. Include that outdoor area. That's where I'm.
So you want to move from. So the original ordinance had it to the property line.
Well, it's right.
So that's what you're asking to move it back to.
No, I'm saying you don't have to put your property. If you put your outdoor area, I want your outdoor restaurant. I want your restaurant area to be represented not by just by the structure of the restaurant. It's where your people are going to be. So you're like right now the way it reads is you're. Your restaurant, it says any structure shall be at least 25 feet from the property line. I feel like the outdoor area needs to be that distance from the This is from the next residential structure, right? Is that what it says? It says restaurant. Provide any structure shall be at least 25 feet from a residence, right? So they're saying, this says the structure of the restaurant needs to be 25 feet from the house.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think that the intent here is the restaurant should be 25 feet from the house, and the restaurant is not just the restaurant structure. That's what I'm getting at. Because that's the impact. The 25 feet is because we want to minimize the impact to the neighbor. And to me, I don't get, I mean, if it's a restaurant and they're quiet inside, it doesn't really bother you. What's going to bother you is going to be somebody eating outside and carrying on making noise while you're out on your deck. That's what I'm trying to say. That make sense?
I get it, but in practical terms, I don't think there's even a property that currently has a structure on it that this would affect. And if you were to buy a lot that doesn't have a structure and it's next to a commercial property, I don't know, I think the expectation should be that that could happen.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, I do understand what you're saying, but the problem is that you're essentially ruling out outdoor seating.
Yeah, that's what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Ruling out what?
Outdoor seating would be gone.
And that, you know.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's just that these are unique properties, right? So this is a business, like outdoor seating down in Lower Town, fine, right? But I'm talking about outdoor seating where you're right next to a residence.
Well, Lower Town's commercial anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But the edge of the Lower Town is not commercial. You know what I mean? Like the very edge of there's probably near residences. So do you want to protect the noise there? I feel like.
And we're only talking part of the year. I mean, restaurants are usually open all year.
I kind of feel like it's a benefit to have nice places like the Snail. Sit outside, and you know, you can't guarantee anything in the future, but the types of businesses that would be attracted in restaurants to do it, I don't think they'd be attracting wedding parties and the rest. But I don't see it as scary. I think it feels kind of like it's nice.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
Have you one more thing?
Yeah.
Because I know the barn was a big issue for like Hardy and actually Hap even, and they're more than 25 feet away from there. So what I'm trying to say is I've heard their complaints from something that's more than 25 feet from their property. So I don't want to be short-sighted here.
It's in another town.
I think it's but it's a noise ordinance. That's what their issue was, noise. Right. And we do have a noise ordinance.
If the barn was in Harper's Ferry, we could have dealt with that promptly. Just the fact that it was in another municipality that created the problem.
But we would be able to enforce a noise ordinance here.
It's on the hilltop. It's in the agreement. Yeah.
What wording would you propose, David?
So I was going to say, after the word structure, it says, provide any such structure and any outdoor areas used by customers shall be at least blah, blah, blah.
Including the parking lot?
Well, I'll reword it. I mean, I don't mean the parking lot. I certainly don't mean that.
I'm
not talking about where the people are going to come to you.
All right, you heard the concerns. Right, we're still in discussion. Chair will call a vote. All in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Opposed. Motion carries 5-1. Discussion action regarding second and final reading of Ordinance 2026-03, Public Use and Conservation, creating the new public use and conservation zoning category and allowed uses. Kevin?
Right, yeah, this is Ordinance 2026-03, an ordinance to create the new public use and conservation zoning district and delineate permitted uses. And this is second reading.
I move that we approve ordinance 2026-03.
Second.
Second from David. Is there a discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the motion to approve, opposed, 6-0.
And thanks again, Zach. This came from planning, that this ordinance did, and it's a big thing for the future. It's important.
I'll get an updated zoning map for the wall.
Okay, Kevin, we're done with you?
That's it.
Okay.
What about 204?
That one was removed.
We have more work to do.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
It's still a hard box. They were waiting for Chris. Right?
David, do you have anything to report, Iowa City?
A few things. So we're in the process of, like we were last time, we're looking at job descriptions. We all have homework, and we're getting together next week, and hopefully we'll get those closer. It's not as, and then of course the mayor just gave me 20 more things that I gotta look at, so thanks, Mayor. And then we're also looking at hiring procedures. I sent a hiring procedure to Pat and Deb to look over, so we'll have, hopefully I'll get comments from them, and then at our next meeting we'll look at those as well. And we're proposing to have the water clerk handle the water company piece, and the town clerk basically handling the town hall hiring piece. That's how it's set up right now. So that's it.
Thanks, David. New business discussion and action regarding establishing a procedure / policy to track action items resulting from town council discussions.
That was Christian.
What?
Okay.
What?
Did you put that on you?
No, hey. No, I didn't do that. I did the Maverick. I'm the Maverick.
I did that.
No,
okay.
That's a joke.
Take a look at that. Okay, here's the issue, and I don't just see it with the town council. We just had an issue today with a parking committee. We have great meetings, and we make great decisions. And then 3 weeks later, we say, who was going to implement this, and what time frame did we give them? And then we come back here, and we all reminisce about what the decision was. Now, I've thrown this around with Debbie, and I don't, Patty, I don't know if I had a chance to discuss it with you, but evidently, sometime in the past, this type of a form was used. And Patty, or who, what's the history on this?
We both talked.
What are we laughing
at? Back in 2019.
Okay, so.
It's just a mature idea.
Like 3 months, and we'd leave. And the papers would be sitting, and a stack of them would sit on the table. Nothing was done with them.
I actually have a document from 1898 that is almost exactly this. So the town's done it before.
Or we can this, and then we can go about our business
no,
as usual.
No, we need to do this.
We should talk
for
it.
Okay, so let's.
Yes.
It's a good idea, Mayor.
What did you guys use? How did it work before?
How it worked before, when Debbie and I came on board and we were looking at how to help move things along in the office, this was one of the frustrations, was the council would make all kinds of great decisions, and then we'd never hear from them again. So Debbie would say, gee, did they approve that invoice, or am I supposed to write that check, or whatever? So we came up with this form, and you're welcome to revise this form in a manner you think might even be more helpful. But we had a council member agree that she would sit there with a stack and she would fill these out as motions were made, and then she would leave them on the table. The next day we would come in, we'd sort through, we'd say, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, and we got things moving. And then after a while,
they stayed blank.
Right. And then COVID hit, and you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'd say that. I think it's a great idea, and it can help a lot, but it is very much the administrative burden of doing it. I would say if we can find a way to do this electronically, it becomes feasible.
Yeah. And that's why I sit here and do all of this and not go after him.
And if there was a way even that the items were on there ahead of time, you know,
from the agendas,
right?
Yeah,
from the agenda,
yeah.
They were like filled out ahead of time as to what, and then what, you know.
Well, this is very basic level project management.
Yep.
And it should not be that hard for us to figure out what we want. And, you know, we are already paying for SharePoint and all these other awesome things that we're not making use of. So I think the path forward would be to look at the software we're already paying for, because we do have Planner, whatever project is now, we have that. You know, and we have other things too. Let's look at that and how we can use.
Because my problem, Jesse, is I think Debbie just mentioned, or Patty, if we do old school approach, that means somebody sitting next to Debbie or somebody sitting here is just monitoring and writing out.
Plus,
and
you can hide in there.
Yeah.
You can't hide if it's visible and everybody can say, you know,
yeah,
so and so, the mayor's not doing his job.
Right.
Says so right here on the chart.
Right. So this will be a classic example. We're going to make a decision, but what is the decision we're going to make? Who's got that decision, and when's that decision going to be made?
So what is the software we have?
We have
is it Microsoft Planner? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's Planner now. It used
to be Planner,
Project. Yeah,
that's what we use.
Yeah.
Okay. Because then so what will happen is each of us have an email, and when you get assigned this, you'll get a ping.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're assigned to this task.
From who's the ping from?
From the ghost inside our machine, whoever that is. Whoever set it up. The person who sets up the task.
Okay.
So we gotta figure out who's gonna go ahead and set up these tasks.
Right.
Right? That's number one. So who's the person? Is that too much burden for you, Pat?
To do? We'll figure that out.
We'll figure it out. Okay. And then she'll say, you know what, this was the IOC, so I'm gonna ping Storm, Christian, and Dave. And then I'll copy myself or so. I don't know.
We can have AI do it.
No.
then the task will come out of this meeting. Like Dave, you know, Dave and Christian and Storm are gonna do the water clerk job description. They're gonna do, you know, maybe there's three things on this particular one, and they're gonna meet the 15th and present it to the council on the whatever. You can put dates.
You
can tell. Create
and
it does what you
tell
it to. Yeah,
so
and then
it's actually.
So what are action items of today's meeting? Give me one.
Oh, I can.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Well, I'm going to follow up with the mayor tomorrow, and I'll be writing. The mayor will be writing letters to the three people that were put on the police commission.
Okay.
So that's a task that we'll follow up with.
So give it that on a task. So he'd get assigned. He's got to write it, right?
Yeah,
but I mean,
he's gonna write.
Does it come to you? Do you not?
I'm gonna get another notebook.
So
we'll have. Let's. We can.
But
come
I mean,
back to this
people have. I'm the old guy in my office,
too.
And I'm.
Okay, so everybody agrees we should do something, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's better than what we're doing now.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe Patty and I tomorrow can have a little, and
we'll go back.
Lasso in Debbie and
if it can be implemented old school until we're able to do it electronically.
And we just don't have the people to do that. Storm. I mean, I'm just not now. Yeah. So I'm glad I brought this up.
Paper filing. It's use the electronic tools if you can. I mean. Yeah.
Then you have to have duplicates, because I mean the easiest way to finish a paper job is to throw the paper away.
What did they do in 1800s?
Actually, it was for the purchase of 10 all-night arc lights, which they installed. I've identified most of the locations between the railroad station and on up to where the various inns and resorts were on Camp Hill. Horrible lights that kept people and horses awake. They swapped them out within 10 years with the incandescents.
We finally got to LEDs.
We're
on LEDs finally.
All right, Council, that takes us to new business discussion and action regarding water department and town staffing may require executive session and collector towers. Our council, based upon exemptions contained in executive session Regulation 698-4, subsection 2A and subsection 2B-9, I'm recommending we go into executive session. Second from Jesse, discussion going into executive session. All those in favor?
Yes.
and pull in.
We are in executive session. I am authorizing the police chief, the finance officer, and the public works administrator.
And